Praise God. Well, if you can, if you have a Bible, does anybody need a Bible? Raise your hand, we'll get you one. We'll put it on the screen too, but let's go ahead and turn over to John 14, 16 tonight. John 14, 16. Just want to thank everybody that helped out, brought candy or brought games or anything for the kids back there. Thank you for helping. They'll have a good time. We do not want to let the world, we're not trying to be like the world, but the world has the misconception that somehow Christians don't have fun. Who spread that lie? Satan. His kind of fun will kill you. God, you can just keep having fun and just go on and enjoy. You know heaven's going to be fun. We're not going to just be sitting up there on a cloud, you know, playing a harp and just waiting around for the millennia and nothing ever goes on. I mean, God is so vast. He will always have something new. And we can't comprehend that. We can't think of that. But our minds really can't wrap around forever, and that he will always be doing something. You think after a while just get boring. We've seen everything, but that's not true. I mean, just think of your body. You could study all the different parts of your body, and they still are learning so much all the time. That's just one part of his creation. And you could spend how long understanding that, let alone the expanse of space and all the stars and the planets and all the trees and the life and everything. And that's just one little small planet. But he is so vast and good. So I just want to thank you guys for helping to set up, helping for the kids, because they have a good time. It's putting into them early that God's good, that we can have a good time, and just directing them to the Lord early. So thank you. John 14, 16. It says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you." So that second part of that last verse, let's just go and read those two again, and then we're going to focus on the second part of the 17th verse. It says, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he shall be in you." That last part, that he will be in you. That's what we're going to focus on tonight. Being born again is not just an experience. Rather, it is receiving the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, a divine personality. We have the Spirit of God come to indwell us. And right there, our minds just cannot comprehend that. But that's okay. There's a lot of stuff our minds can't comprehend. You have to take it by faith. The fact that God himself, the Spirit of God, lives in us is, you don't receive that with your natural mind. You receive it with your heart. The indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, a divine personality, he comes to make his home in us when we are born again. There is no need for any believer ever to feel comfortless, bereaved, or forlorn. Christ's purpose in sending the Holy Spirit was so that the Holy Spirit, a divine personality, might come to live in us and to be in us. Every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit living in them. The New Testament gives us three relations that God sustains toward man. First, God is for us. Second, God is with us. And third, God is in us. Can you put up Romans 8:31 real quick? For us to have God being for us is a guarantee of success. It says in Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? Think of that. If he's for us, What does it matter who's against us? It doesn't matter because he is bigger than all. There's no one that can take him on and win. So when we know and understand that he is for us, then it can change our perspective. We don't ever need to be distraught. We don't ever need to be dismayed. That to be dismayed, to be depressed, is to forget this, that he is with us. He is with us. You know, you think of just natural personalities, and you could name certain individuals that if they're going with you somewhere, well, it makes a difference. You know, maybe you're going into a tough situation, but so-and-so is with me. I mean, just think about it. Sometimes you need counsel in certain areas. You know, you're going to go into a certain meeting, and it might be stressful, but you have somebody that knows that area real well, or maybe it's your lawyer or something. Well, they're with me. That comforts you because, well, I may not know all this, but they know that and they got that. And if certain questions coming up, they're going to take care of it because that's what I have them, right? Well, God is with us. And he trumps anybody, any natural personality. And if he's with us, it doesn't matter who's against us. It doesn't matter what's going on. He's with us. God's with us. This is not just a religious concept. This is truth. Every individual in here, if you're born again, you have God with you right now. He's with us. Amen. If we know that God is on our side, we are sure to win in life. If God is for you and you know that he is for you, you become utterly fearless in life because he's with us. No matter how difficult the situation may be, no matter how dark the clouds that hang upon us or hang upon the horizon of life may be, we can calmly be assured that we must win in every circumstance because God is with us, is for us, I mean. There can be no defeat if the Lord is for us. And if he's for us, who can be against us? If he's for us, it doesn't matter who's against us. You can also have the assurance that not only is he for us, we touched on it just a second ago, but that in every place and in every situation, he is with us. So he's for us. We need to know that he is for us, because even if he was with us, but if he wasn't for us, he was going to knock us up beside the head. That wouldn't do us any good. Well, God's with me. Yeah, but he's mad at me. That wouldn't work. That wouldn't feel good, but he is for us. Number one, we need to know that he is on our side. And then number two, he's with us. No matter what the circumstances may be, if you're a Christian, the Lord is with you. The knowledge of the Word of God along this line should cause our hearts to leap for joy within us and buoy our spirits up with faith and confidence. Under the New Testament or the New Covenant, the Bible says we have a better covenant established on better promises. Hebrews 8:6, can you put that up quick? This is all just kind of introduction. Hebrews 8:6. It says we have a better covenant established on better promises. Now he has ordained a more excellent ministry, inasmuch as he is also mediator, Jesus, of a better covenant which was established on better promises. Under the covenant in the Old Testament, God was for Israel and he was with Israel, but he was not in Israel. He was for them, he was with them, but he was not in them. However, in the New Testament, God is with us and he is for us, but we have something better. God is in us. God is actually making his home in our bodies as his temple. Of all the mighty truths in connection with our redemption, that after God himself recreated us and made us new creatures in Christ and made us his own, then he, in the person of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, makes our bodies his home. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Can you go ahead and turn there? 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, "Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you?" You are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Can you put that up in the Amplified? It says, "Do you not discern and understand that you, the whole church at Corinth, are God's temple, His sanctuary, and that God's Spirit has His permanent dwelling in you to be at home in you collectively as a church and also individually?" He is in us. We are God's temple. We are the temple of the Almighty. The one who created the heavens and the earth, He is so vast, He's bigger than we can imagine, but He's in us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, you can turn over there, just a few chapters back. 6:19. It says, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own?" Again, in the Amplified, 1 Corinthians 6:19. It says, "Do you not know that your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God? You are not your own." You have that one? I'll read it to you again. "Do you not know that your body is the temple?" So it's 1 Corinthians 6:19. "Do you not know that your temple is the, or your body is the temple, the very sanctuary of the Holy Spirit who lives within you, whom you have received as a gift from God, and you are not your own?" Now we're going to go, can you put the New King James of 2 Corinthians 6:16 up? And then we'll come back to the Amplified. The one you're on now, only the New King James. It says, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God." Oh, that's 1 Corinthians. You have 2 Corinthians? There we go. It says, "And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Can you go back to the previous one? It says, "I will dwell in them and walk among them." He said, "You are the temple of the living God." Can you put that up in the Amplified? In the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 6:16 says, "What agreement can there be between a temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God, even as God has said, I will dwell in and with and among them and will walk in and with and among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." He said, "I will dwell in and with and among them and walk in and with and among them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, God Himself dwells in the believer through the new birth experience. So when we got born again, He came to indwell in us. No longer does God dwell in the earth-made Holy of Holies. Our bodies have become His temple because our spirit is within us. He dwells in our spirit. See, in the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, God's presence was closed up in the Holy of Holies. And nobody would go in the Holy of Holies unless there were certain preparations made. And if they did, and they had made those preparations, they would fall dead. It was necessary also that every male in all of Israel present himself at least once a year at Jerusalem, because that was where God's presence was in the Holy of Holies. And the high priest was designated by God to go into the Holy of Holies to offer sacrifices and to make atonement for the sins of the people. But on the cross, before Jesus died, he said, "It is finished." And he was not referring to the new covenant when he said, "It is finished." He was talking about the old covenant being finished. The new covenant wasn't instituted and ratified until Jesus was raised from the dead, ascended on high, and entered into the heavenly Holy of Holies with his own blood. Once Jesus obtained eternal redemption for us, as Hebrews declares, then and only then were the terms of the new covenant consummated and ratified. So when Jesus hung on the cross and he said, "It is finished," he was referring to the old covenant. And the word tells us that the moment that the curtain that partitioned off the Holy of Holies, the moment he died, that curtain was rent in two. It was ripped in two from top to bottom. That was the curtain that separated the Holy of Holies from everything else. And the Holy of Holies is where God's presence dwelled. That was the only place. But when Jesus declared on the cross, when he died, that curtain was ripped in two. And the curtain was massive. Jewish historians tell us that that curtain was 40 feet wide, 20 feet high, and 4 inches thick. Think about that. That's a thick curtain. When Jesus was crucified on the cross of Calvary, God sent his messenger to rend that curtain in the Holy of Holies from top to bottom, signifying that the old covenant was finished and that God's presence would no longer be shut up in the man-made Holy of Holies. Under the new covenant, God would dwell in the believer. The curtain was not ripped from the bottom to the top, as it might happen if it was done by a human, but it was ripped from top to bottom. It was ripped by an angel. Went in there and took that huge curtain, and that's nothing for an angel. One angel in the old covenant took out 185,000 men. One. The Bible says you have an angel. It said, "Their angel is always before me." Well, just talking about the little ones. Well, why would the angel leave you when you grew up? So we have protection. But that curtain was ripped. And when that happened, God's presence, which had been kept in the Holy of Holies, moved out of that earth-made Holy of Holies, and God has never dwelt in an earth-made Holy of Holies since. Now he makes his abode in believers. He makes his abode in you and me. So like when people say they refer to a building as a house of God, that can be incorrect or correct depending on and how we're using it. If we mean that's where God lives and dwells, you know, some people believe that. They like go to church like it's holy. Well, that's wrong. The church itself is not where God dwells. No building is. But if we mean the house of God, that it's consecrated for God's use and for his purposes, then we're right. It's the house of God. We honor, this is a holy place. Holy just means set apart. So this is holy in the sense that we've set it apart for the use of God. But when you walked in, you brought God with you. When you walked in, the church came in. If we're not here, the church is not here. We call this, let's go to the church, but really, we're the church. We are the church. God dwells in us. This is just the building the church meets, where the church meets. But we honor this thing. I mean, you don't get religious about it, but when you're coming to worship God, it's not that the building is, you know, something different, but it is dedicated to the purpose of God. That makes it special. We ought to dedicate everything that we own to the purposes of God. I mean, otherwise, why do we have it? The food we eat, that's why we pray over it. We pray over it to bless it, to the nourishment of our body. Why? So that we can do the service of God, so that food would help us, give strength to us, so that we can do his work. Anything that we get, we should consecrate it to God. Why do we have it? If we're just getting it, I mean, yeah, we enjoy things, but there's entertainment. We can be rested and we can be entertained as long as it's not, you know, something godless, and have things that we enjoy. But still, it's all in a purpose that we're living unto God. We're doing what He would want us to do, but we have to realize we're the ones that are carrying around God on the inside of us now. So relatively few Christians are actually conscious of God in them, dwelling in their hearts and bodies as His temple. If men and women were conscious of God in them as His temple, then we wouldn't, or they wouldn't talk and act as they sometimes do. We're all guilty of that. But the more we become conscious of His presence, the less we'll do things that we know we shouldn't do anyway. Some Christians constantly talk about their lack of power and their lack of ability, but if they realize that God is in them, they would know there is nothing impossible to them. Instead of believing what the Bible says, too many believers believe only what they feel. For example, when people are born again, they feel wonderful. But many times later they'll say, I had a marvelous experience when I was saved, but God must have left me because I just don't feel the same. Or, you know, you could feel great on Friday and, you know, in the afternoon and you got some work done and, woo, the weekend is ahead and you're going to get together with some friends or family on Friday and you feel good, but Monday morning, you know, don't feel the same. Well, does that mean God has left? Nope. He is the same all the time. He is with us. Just the same, no matter what we face, no matter what circumstance we have, He is in us. And that means the impossible is possible because He's in us. Amen? Jesus said that He would abide with us forever. We read in John 14, 16. Can you put that back up, the first scripture? Can you put it? We're not going to put it up in the Amplified quite yet. Do you have it in the New King James? Well, you see, it says the same thing here on the Amplified. Well, there we go. It says that I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper that He may abide with you when? Forever. So He is with us and He's in us regardless. He doesn't leave us on Monday morning and say, you know what, I can't take this. I'm coming back on Friday. Once you get through this, maybe Thursday afternoon if it's a good week. Through the weekend I'll be there, but Monday, man, I gotta go. Get out of there. There's too many people going through too many things. No, He said He would be here all the time, in us, and He is in us. He came to dwell in us. We're His temple. He didn't come as a guest to stay just for a few days. He didn't come on a vacation to dwell inside of you just for a short time. He came to dwell in you and to be at home in you forever. The Holy Spirit's home in this life is in your body, God's temple. Mark 9:23. Can you put that up real quick? There it says, all things are possible to him that believes. Mark 9:23, all things are possible to him that believes. The reason that all things are possible to him who believes is that God our Father planned that the believing one should have God Himself living in him through the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. And that makes all things possible. What with God in the believer, nothing is impossible. I'm going to say that one more time. With God in the believer, nothing is impossible. God is in us. That means He is in every situation. That means He is in every circumstance. That means He is here to hear every report. When it doesn't matter what the report is, God is there. And that means that anything that was impossible to man, God is there. God is in us. And so it's possible. All things are possible to him who believes. Why? Because God is in us. God is for us, he's with us, but he is in us. So nothing is impossible. 1 John 4:4. Says, "You are of God, little children." You have that one? 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world." So who is the he that's in the world? It's Satan, the god of this world. Can you put up 2 Corinthians 4:4 real quick? It says, "Whose minds the god of this world, god of this age, has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them." So when it says, "You are of God, little children," can you put 1 John 4:4 back up, please? It says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world." He who is in you is greater. He who is in you is greater. He who is in you is greater. Everybody say, "He who is in me is greater than anything I'll face, any circumstance, any person, any organization. He who is in me is greater than he who is in the world." We got to say a little more. He who is in me, he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in me is greater than any circumstance I'll face today, I'll face tomorrow, I'll face next week, I'll face next year, I'll face any time in my life. He's greater. He's greater. And he'll put me over. He knows what to do. He knows how to do it. He knows how to help me. He is seen ahead. He's made provision. He'll lead me over the circumstance. I won't go under. I'm not going down. I won't be crushed. I won't be displaced. I'm going over. Because greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is in us. 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 Boy, if we get the revelation of that, we'll just be smooth sailing for going from now on. When our eyes start being downcast, it's when we've forgotten that. Because how could we be down when he is in us? And he said he's greater than anything that we're going to face. Is he or not? Yes. Is he greater? Yes. Is there anything that can take God out? No. No, he cannot be defeated. And he won't be defeated. And if we'll trust him and let him lead us, then there is nothing impossible to us and we will not be defeated. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He is in us. The Holy Spirit, he's the greater one. He's in us if we've been born again. God himself in the person of the Holy Spirit lives in the born-again believer. All that God could possibly be to you and to do for you, the Holy Spirit, through his indwelling presence, is to you and for you and in you. I'm going to say that again. All that God could possibly be to you and for and do for you, the Holy Spirit, through his indwelling presence, is to you and for you and in you. So anything that where the thought would come, oh, I just wish God would, the Holy Spirit is that for us. And he can do whatever needs to be done. In other words, there isn't God out there somewhere, oh, God, I just wish you would. No, he's in us. And we have to receive that by faith. And when we start receiving it by faith and acting on it and believing it, that's when he's able to work for us. When we go by our feelings, well, I don't feel like, where is he? God, I thought you could direct me. I thought you would help me. I just don't feel, or I just don't see. We are negating what he said right here, and we're acting like he's not in us. Well, where did he go? He hasn't left. How do we stir ourselves up? We have to focus on the word and say, regardless, I believe that God is in me. He is leading me. He is helping me. You have to say that when you feel like he's nowhere, because what he said he is. So we have to say that. If we were really conscious of the greater one in us, then we would have no fear of the devil. We would have no fear of the one that it says, he that is in the world, because he who is in us is greater than he who is in the world. Don't ever say, oh, you know, the devil is doing such and such to me, or the devil's inspiring people to do such and such to me. Don't say that. We're placing him in a position of power over us. That's not true. He wants you to think it's true, and the way he tries to gain access is by getting you to agree with him. Getting you to say, well, the devil, Satan's stirring up people against me. Don't say that. Things, circumstance can come against you, but they will never dominate you. Paul went through troubles, but they never overcame him. I like what somebody said, if Paul were, you know, one-tenth as weak and frail as some people think he was, there is no way he could have gone through everything he went through. That he was sickly and he had eye stuff. I mean, the guy, they left him for dead. I believe he probably was dead and he was raised from the dead. Yeah, he went through some stuff, but notice, they knock him down, he gets up. Knock him down, he gets up. They can't stop him. Well, that's where we are. The same Holy Spirit that was in the Apostle Paul is in you, is in me. So we can have victory. We may not have the same call, but in our call, we can have victory all the time, no matter what. Glory to God. John 14, 16. Can you go back there again? We just were there. Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Or here it says that he may remain with you forever. So in 1 John 4, 4, it says, greater is he that is in you. Here in 17, it says, he shall be in you. We need to look to him to help us in every circumstance. Quit trying to look to your head to try to remember certain things or to try to get things down. Start helping, letting this Holy Spirit help you to do it. That doesn't mean we shut our brains off. We have brains for a reason. God gave us a brain. But we have to be conscious of the fact that the Holy Spirit is in us to help us and to quicken us and to help us use our other faculties. We don't rely purely on our natural abilities, because we are more than natural. We're supernatural. We have the Spirit of the living God dwelling on the inside of us. So He is our helper. It's one thing to try to do something mentally yourself. It's another thing to trust Him, the greater one, the one that's in us, to help us do it. He is everything in us that the Scriptures say He is, and He'll do everything in us that the Word says He will do. And He will be everything in us that the Word says He will be. We just agree with that. Smith Wigglesworth, he's a preacher in England. He said in his book, Ever Increasing Faith, I am 1,000 times bigger on the inside than I am on the outside. And that's probably an understatement. Because if we have the greater one on the inside of us, how big is God? How big is God relative to you? How big is God relative to me? He's infinitely bigger. And He's on the inside of us. Now, our mind can't wrap our head around that, but remember, we're talking about Spirit. God is a Spirit. So if we'll act like that's true, then we'll see great things happen. Someone once asked Smith Wigglesworth, what is your secret to the great place of spirituality you have attained? Now, if you know anything about this man, he was completely uneducated. Smith Wigglesworth was completely uneducated. He was a plumber for most of his life, into his 50s. And when he got baptized with the Holy Spirit, a little bit after he got baptized with the Holy Spirit, he really started taking off. But that was when he was in his 50s. And he lived to be when he was in his 80s. But did not speak really clearly. From what they say, you know, we don't have recordings, but things that were written, didn't speak real clearly, didn't have education, yet he walked with the presence of God and knew God in him, and he affected the world. People all over the world heard about him. And back then, he had to go different places by boat, but they would know about him. I mean, he saw miracles. He was bold. But they asked him, what is your secret to the great place of spirituality you have attained? And his answer was, all I ever did was to remember that greater is He who is in me than he who is in the world. And think about it. If you just focused on that one thing and became so aware that God was inside you, well, then what can God do? I said, what can God do? God is unlimited, and He's in us. And we see an example, somebody not anything in the natural that people would look at, but just became conscious of the fact that it was God and not him, and He changed the world. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, each one of us has the same Holy One on the inside. And He has called each one of us to do something. It may not be preaching like Smith Wigglesworth, but it is something, and doing that something with the help of Almighty God. Thank God for natural help. Thank God for natural training. But the thing that will put us over in a far different place is by walking and knowing that He is in us. That greater is He who is in us than he who is in the world. That means anything we face, any challenge, any circumstance, we are more than up to the task. We can learn anything we need to learn. We can do anything we need to do. We can meet with anybody we need to meet with. Intimidation will go away when we begin to understand and focus on the fact that God Himself is in us. A friend of ours, I told this story before, you know, recently, but a friend of ours down in Connecticut, she was, and she's from New York, she's from Long Island, but she was on a plane and she was talking to another person and this guy, and he was I think she was talking to him about Jesus, and he was just being kind of a little bit dismissive, and his friend was there, and he said, does she know who you are? And she said the Spirit of God just rose up on her in her and said, does he know who you are? To her. In other words, this other guy is saying, what, does she know who you are? And she said the Spirit of God just came, wait a minute, does he know who you are? Does he know who's in you? And she said, because she was starting to feel intimidated, and she said that just went away. She was like, yeah, does he realize I have the Almighty on the inside of me? When you walk into a room, there may be other men or other women that have reputation or have intellect or whatever, but when you walk into the room, the Spirit of God walks into the room. And if he's called you to do something, he's called you to do it well. He's called you to do it in excellence. He's called you to do it as well and better than anybody in the world. Amen. What he has called you to do, he didn't call you to do something mediocre. If he's in it and he asked you to do it, then he has asked you to do it well and to excel and to do exceedingly. Amen. He's in us. He dwells in us. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.